Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Padres' ownership saga is nearly over. The Wall Street Journal and Jared Diamond reporting this morning that they are nearing a deal, the Padres, to be sold to private equity billionaire Jose E. Feliciano, co-owner of Chelsea, and his wife, by the way, Kwanzaa Jones, at a Major League Baseball record valuation of $3.9 billion, blowing away the previous record of $2.4 billion by Steve Cohen when he purchased the New York Mets. There is a lot to react to. And of course, this will play out over the course of time, whether this is a good or bad future ownership group of the San Diego Padres. But $3.9 billion, Jim, right in front of the CBA deal that's approaching in literally 6 months. And this could play out over the course of the next few days. Jose Feliciano was one of the four groups that we've discussed over the last 3 or 4 months. It will be Feliciano and his wife to purchase the San Diego Padres from the Sadler family. How about that?
All right, let's be real here. We don't know jack shit. Like,
I will see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. I'm just, anybody that in San Diego, in the media, I think Darren might be the only person that they'd be qualified to really like, because he follows the Premier League and Chelsea and all that stuff. But other than that, like, you don't know what type of owner this guy is going to be. Nobody does. Him and his wife. It could be the greatest thing ever. It could be the worst thing ever. I think what we can confidently say here is just looking how he has run Chelsea. Okay. That's the Premier League club that he owns, or I guess part of a company, you know, part of the equity firm that owns Chelsea, right? They spend a shit ton of money. Like a lot of money. They lap the field. The problem is they suck. And it's turned into, I guess, cap hell for them, however it's phrased for Premier League club.
And debt hell, apparently, in doing some of this reading. They have a lot of debt. Apparently.
A lot of debt. Yeah. So, look, they're coming in to a time in Padres franchise history where there doesn't need to be many changes. Right, they're not starting from the bottom. They're not a team. They're not the Marlins. They're not, the A's. They're not, the Angels, where they've had no success for a long period of time. The Padres have had a ton of success over the last five years, so they're in a good spot. So when he comes in here, my guess is nothing's going to change right away. But when he starts, wanting to make changes. With the team they have now, just add to it. Just, don't try to be this guy that changes a bunch of stuff and spends all this money and wants to do that. Like, yeah, spend a bunch of money, but spend a bunch of money to try to make the team better. Like, keep Mason Miller around for a long period of time, right? Like, keep these players in. Now, the players are already here because they were signed to long-term contracts, but, re-sign Ramon Laureano, right? Like, make sure that the core is intact and the team is in place, but I just think overall, just like researching him a little bit here, they're going to spend an ungodly amount of money on this team. Because when you buy a team for $4 billion, you're going to spend on the team.
I'm all for it. Listen, here's what I would say. Peter Seidler, believe this or not, that felt more mom and pop. like it was Peter's wishes to go out and spend money that he may or may not have had in an effort to bring a championship to the city of this, of San Diego. Like it was his civic duty to do that. Jose Feliciano, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, in some of our cursory, you know, overview of what he's done, he's going to treat it like an asset. That's not necessarily a bad thing. He works in private equity. His firm is based in Southern California, in Santa Monica. It's transactional. So is his relationship with Chelsea. But here's the thing. Sometimes transactional relationships can result in winning. He already has a front office in place. AJ Preller was just extended. Let Preller cook with additional resources. I'm on board. That's all I care about. Is he from San Diego? I don't care. If he has the resources, I care. Friedkin, again, is a bigger PR win. He's from San Diego. Joe Lacob, there's a PR element. He's won four titles. Tom Gores, I think it's a PR failure day one. Doesn't mean it would have been bad. He owns the Chargers. Now, I will say this. Feliciano attempted, and I'm not going to put this as a mark against him. He attempted to purchase a minority share of the Chargers in the 2020s when Dean Spanos' sister was selling. That share went to Tom Gores. Jose Feliciano attempted to buy shares of the Chargers in the 2020s. It didn't come to fruition. Now he's doubled down in Southern California. He'll be the majority owner of the San Diego Padres. But I think we're going from a mom and pop era of the Seidlers, which again resulted in a lot of fan interest and winning, although never bringing a World Series. And we're moving to that, like, you know, that big business period of time. Private equity is playing a huge role in professional sports, and that will now play out in San Diego. If they win, great. At the end of the day, that's all we care about. I don't care if they're owned by a private equity firm or by Jim Russell, although I think Jim runs the thing into the ground. But I think they can win. Resources matter in baseball. He seems to be well-resourced. You're right on Chelsea. It seems like it's been a little bit of a debacle with their spending, but I'd probably prefer the debacle with spending than the little engine that could. So give him some resources, and let's see if they can get this thing across the finish line.
And when we talked about what's the perfect owner for the Padres, the perfect owner is deep pockets and a love for, or at least a tie to the city, a love for baseball, more of that mom and pop type of feel with like Peter Seidler, but just like has incredibly deep pockets and been successful in, you know, the sports world. Right. I don't think we're getting that way here, but what you are getting is a guy with incredibly deep pockets. So when you look at like the checklist of everything you wanted for the new Padres owner, you are checking off a pretty big box when it comes to the amount of money that this guy has and the equity firm that it has, you know, it has, and how much money they're going to spend if they do anything like they did with Chelsea, right? I think if Joe Lacob became the owner, the money aspect of it, I don't know if I could check off that box. I could check off the passion, right? Yeah. But I don't think I could have checked off the money box and been confident with it. But I can definitely feel confident checking off that money box here with this new owner. Just the other stuff, like the passion for the fan base that you got from Peter Seidler, right? The passion for baseball, the passion for the Padres. I don't know if you're going to be able to check that box off. Because, look, just go look up online, type this guy's name in, type in Jose Feliciano and Chelsea. And I think one of the first videos that pops up is him at like a convention or whatever. And he's talking to the club. And you're right. The way that he talked about Chelsea felt like he talked about it like it was just an asset. Not that it was a passion. Not that he loved it, right? And that is a little concerning because, I mean, you want somebody that – you see a lot of owners in sports that just have it because they want to make money on it. And I don't know the success rate of those owners, but I don't think that it's, like, incredibly high. There are some owners that are very successful, and they're just, like, there. But – you want an owner for the like he bought it because he loves the game. He bought it for the love of the game. He bought it because he loves baseball and he has deep pockets. And you're not getting the full package here. At least I don't think so. He'll probably put on some crazy good PR spin and he'll sound very polished. Yep. There's no doubt about it. He'll sound very polished when the first time he speaks as the Padres' new owner. But it's a wait and see game. And it's kind of like, I don't really know what's going to happen. I just kind of hope it works out because that would be really shitty if it didn't.
We'll get your supers, by the way. We appreciate your support of the channel. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. Please subscribe. We're over 10,100 subscribers now. With your help, we blew past 10,000 in the last 24 hours, and now we're past 10,001. So let's get to 3.9 billion subscribers on this channel as well. I think they'll bury this under the rug, Jim, but the individual that Feliciano owns the Chelsea with, Todd Boehly, owns the Dodgers. So the co-owner of Chelsea, if I'm pronouncing this right, B-O-E-H-L-Y, Todd Boehly, he owns 20% of the L.A. Dodgers. Feliciano is based out of L.A. The PE firm is in Santa Monica. It's in Los Angeles County. But again, that's not my primary concern, Jim. Peter Seidler grew up in the O'Malley family, right? Like,
yeah, he grew up a Dodger fan.
He grew up a Dodger fan. I mean, under ownership ties of the LA Dodgers. I mean, right. You wish you had this storybook. A young person was born in San Diego and used to sell hot dogs and now has $4 billion. And not everything is storybook like that. I don't personally care. If the Padres go 90-72 this year and then run through the postseason and win the World Series, great. Then that's all anyone cares about. So I think we've gotten to the point where it's all about winning for me. You and I have watched this thing play out as closely as anyone in the 2020s. And right now it's about getting this thing over the hump and winning in the postseason. I don't know if you'll ever be resourced like the LA Dodgers. I don't even know if you need to be, truthfully, but you need to put yourself in a financial position where you can compete towards the top of the sport financially. Top third of the sport, you need to consistently be sitting in that area. My guess with this group, they will consistently sit in the top third of the sport in spending. I don't think you spend $3.9 billion to tear it down and run it into the ground. I really don't. And I also think it'll be run as an asset. They'll try to make money off it, but I think they'll attempt to win and do something that hasn't been done here. So it's an interesting dichotomy. I mean, again, I think you could say day one, maybe you'd prefer someone else, but I want to reserve judgment, let it play out and see what kind of commitment they have moving forward.
And the $3.9 billion number is crazy. I think we guessed, I think I said 3.6.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
And then you said like 3.4, 3.5.
Me?
You said lower than me.
No, I was like 20. I was like 20 grand, I think. $45,000.
Like $5. 3.9 is crazy. It's a crazy number. And so when you spend that much on something, that becomes like one of your top priorities.
Good point.
How could it not? How could you spend $3.9 billion and it not be one of your top priorities in what you're doing? Right. So with that aspect alone, I'm with you. Like, now that you have the resources and now that you have the deep pockets, let Preller cook. You have the baseball ops in place. Don't come in here and try to make some crazy big changes. Now, if the team was losing consistently, right? If they went on a big losing stretch where it's like three years in a row, they barely reached 70 wins. Okay. Well, obviously we're talking about some major changes. But like I said, you're in a time in Padres history where this is the best consistent stretch of winning that this franchise has ever experienced. Okay. 98, yes, they went to the World Series, but it's not like they went 98, 99, 2000, 2001, 2002, right, where they were constantly winning and constantly in the postseason picture. That's not the case. This is the case now where they're constantly in the postseason picture from 2000 to 2026 right now. They are a playoff caliber team. They sell out every single game. Their revenue is through the roof. You don't need to make these bold, big changes. But if you come in here and you say, hey, let's go sign Tarik Skubal in the offseason, that's awesome. And
I'm in favor.
You know what I mean? Like, go do that. You can do it, it feels like now, with this guy and his wife as the owner. But
couldn't do it with John Seiler if he stuck around. To credit to John Seiler, he ain't doing that.
And the last two off seasons, this team has told Preller that he needs to be dumpster diving because they don't have enough resources to go out and spend money. And now you're giving Preller the resources to go out and spend a bunch of money, right? And we kind of saw that here in the Padres when Peter Seidler was doing that for a 2-year, 3-year window, right? Signing, you know, Xander Bogaerts and re-signing Manny Machado and giving Tatis a big contract and re-signing Jake Cronenworth and Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove, right? He did that. And we saw what it was here, what it was like in San Diego. It was like, holy shit. Now it didn't produce a championship, and it kind of crashed and burned a little bit, actually a lot of it, in 2023. But you see what it could be like again with Jose Feliz Feliciano and Kwanzaa Jones as the owners of this team. I just hope that when they come in, they don't make crazy big changes. They keep Preller's team intact. They give him a huge amount of resources as far as money goes to go out and help the team win and kind of let this thing cook here over the next couple years and see if this thing can play out with just now a bunch of money infused into it.
Yeah, like I look at it like this. I see Chelsea and the train wreck that's played out with their money like the New York Mets. But I think a lot of people want to be the New York Mets because they have spending. I blame Cohen for some of it, but Cohen's putting the hands of the organization and the money in the hands of his GM. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to well-resource AJ Preller, I'll take my chances. There have been some highs and lows in there. All these deals haven't been great. I mean, we've talked about some of these $300 million deals that haven't panned out perfectly for the Padres, but I'd rather be well-resourced than the opposite. Like, Preller deserves credit for what he's done dumpster diving the last couple of years, but you're not winning World Series. I mean, if you do, it's atypical. I'd prefer to do it the way that the sport typically operates. I think who'd we have on yesterday on the radio that said, oh, it was Jesse Rogers that said, we haven't had a team win a World Series that doesn't have a top third payroll in over 10 years. I didn't do the deep dive on that, but that's Jesse Rogers who works with Jeff Passan at ESPN. My point is, you got to fall out of bed spending money to win World Series in the major leagues, by and large. Otherwise, it's an abnormality. So that's what I like about it, to your point. And if John Sather, remember when he decided, hey, I'm going to sell the team, and there was a lot of questions about it. What about keeping this team in the Sather name for generations to come? Where I credit John Sather is this. If he wasn't committed to doing it, I'm glad he's willing to allow someone else to be committed to doing it. So that's John Sather's legacy for me if this ends up working out well. The Sather family was part of a group that bought this team for $800 million in 2012.
Crazy.
It's gone up fivefold, right? 800 to 4 billion, whatever
like
that is.
Like a 390% increase.
Thank you. 390% increase. So they're doing well on the purchase and sale. And now can Jose Feliciano, with his resources, with this PE firm, allow the Padres to remain a top spender, and can Preller do the work necessary for this team to compete at the very highest level of the sport? It remains to be seen, but I'm fascinated to see it play out. I promise you that.
Yeah, you just hope that the private equity aspect of it doesn't turn the Padres into just that asset type of feel.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
yeah, I don't love that part of it.
I don't love that part of it, but because of the private equity firm, you're going to have a shit ton of money to potentially use to, you know, spend on the club, right? You're not getting that feel of a Peter Seidler. You're just not. Maybe we do. I don't know. Maybe Jose Feliciano is front-facing and he's there all the time and he shows an incredible passion for the Padres and he says he wants to spend a bunch of money.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Money, but he's not reckless with his spending, and he's not just turning into Steve Cohen, where he's set, you know, signing these guys to incredibly bad contracts and hurting the club long term. I don't know. I don't know what this guy's going to be. Is he going to be just a suit and tie that's kind of mysterious, and we rarely see him? I think that wouldn't go over well with Padres fans. Like, if we rarely see Jose Feliciano, if he doesn't show a passion for the club. Because you're coming off of the most beloved owner in franchise history, followed by one of his friends that decided that, you know, obviously that the untimely death of Peter turned into, hey, we just need someone here to run the show for a year. And that was Eric Kassenda. And then his brother took over and he didn't want the job because he was not going to do well long term. Yeah. Like, it just, I agree. If you realize you're not going to do well, cut ties and and sell the franchise, and don't try to just hang on because you wanted to do it for your brother, right? And John Seidler, to me, whatever. He'll be a footnote in this whole thing. It's going to feel like Peter Seidler, Jose Feliciano, and then the Eric Kinsenda and John Seidler aspect of it is you're going to probably forget about it. Like, oh, those guys were the owners for a year or whatever, right? They're, you know, of the club because they did nothing. So I hope it works out. This guy, they have a ton of money, and if they spend it right and they keep Preller and they keep the baseball ops in place and let him do his thing, it could really work out.
By the way, some of the big winners, if the reporting is correct, correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, there has been reporting that Eric Krupner has equity in the Padres. Remember, he's a minority owner. So, I mean, just do the math on it. I mean, even if he owns 1% of the club or less than that, you start doing the math on it, that's a lot of money. And the Seidler Family Trust is the largest owner of the San Diego Padres. Of course, that's Sheil Seidler and her family, her children.
Right.
I think they own 27% of the club. Do the math on 27% of $4 billion. You're looking at $1 billion going to the Seidler family. So the math on this is going to be literally mind-blowing by baseball standards. Now, this is not the Lakers sale. This is not the Warriors sale. This is not the Seahawks sale. Baseball is not held to that same level of franchise valuation, even though they have more games. But this is not an NFL sale. This is not a recent NBA sale. This is the richest sale, though, in baseball history. Let's get to some of these super chats, by the way. And if you're here, there's 450 people here live right now at 8 in the morning or 9 in the morning. Please subscribe. Let's get past 10,200 subscribers here. Please subscribe and thank you for the super chats. Like this one from Vector says, time to wait and see what the future holds. I agree with that. I'm not going to make these strong statements like this is the wrong decision or this is an absolute home run. And trust me, they're winning a World Series. I do think you need to give it time. And honestly, Jim, I think to your point, we'll see about the deadline. But I feel like 2026, like the hay is in the barn from an ownership perspective. You're not going to change everything. You're not acquiring Paul Skeens at the deadline. So by and large, a lot of this will be on AJ Preller at the deadline. Hopefully he's got some money to work with. But I don't think 2026 is the year that Jose Feliciano is putting his stamp on this franchise.
No, but he can put his stamp on the franchise as early as 2027, I feel like.
Yeah. Yep. Maybe the deadline.
I don't know. I don't know how long the process takes to fully have everything in place and approved. Yeah. I mean, the approval process probably will be very quick, is my guess. Right. But I'm talking like, you know, you're not this once it's approved the next day, I don't think he's going to come in here and be like, hey, AJ, here's a check to go whatever you do, whatever you want the trade deadline. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. I could be wrong. I don't know how these things work. I've never been involved, obviously. Yeah. No one's been involved. I have never been involved in a sale of $3.9 billion, John.
You're such a loser.
I am a loser. But I see that the 2027 offseason now again, or 2026 offseason now again.
Yep.
We're going to be facing a lockout.
No, I was going to say the sport's going to be frozen.
The sport's going to be frozen, and it's going to be a good thing to have this private equity firm in place for that aspect of it because of the money, right?
Yep.
And I'm sure they've already thought about that. They've talked about that. There had to have been conversations. There's no way they're buying this not knowing that there's going to be an impending lockout coming here in the 2026 offseason.
Right.
But like what? Like, huh? There's a lockout? I do think, though, they could be in, like, we'll see how it goes, but they could be in play for a Skubal. They could be in play for a Skeens down the road.
That'd be unbelievable.
And it will all see what the first real legitimate move they make is.
Exactly.
And that will tell me if they will be in those conversations in the future or if they will not be. Like the first legitimate move, if they go out and spend a shit ton of money, that will tell me, oh my God, this is going to be in the conversation.
Is there anything current roster-wise you could even do in terms of spending like they did the Merrill extension last year? I don't think you're extending Mason Miller, even though that sounds amazing because he's under control for forever right now.
Is there anything? Liriano to like a three-year,
I don't think that's the biggest splash in the world. I think it goes over very well with Padres fans, but he's in his 30s.
No, there's no big splash move. They have Tatis. Here's another thing too, by the way. I just thought about this.
Yeah.
The stupid conversation that's being had by like Harold Reynolds on MLB Network and the New York media, like the and Bob fucking Nightingale and Barry Bloom or whatever, the Padres, oh, they need to trade Fernando Tatis Jr. because they don't have enough money. Well, when a guy buys a team for $3.9 billion, my guess is they're going to have some money.
They're profiling him at second base for the deadline. No, they're not, you idiot. They're playing him at second base because Jake Cronenworth has a day off or whatever. Just unbelievably asinine, clueless, having no clue, not watching.
But isn't that conversation, I feel like, a little bit dead now because of who has bought the team and the amount of money that they own as the equity firm? Like, to trade him because of money problems?
It's not because of money. That conversation is dead. I would say this, and we all agree on this. There could be a day Tatis is moved because the franchise wants to move him. But that's more on Tatis and performance than has anything to do with his contract now.
Yeah.
Taco Bell, call 911. Thank you, man. He says AJ Preller might not be here for long. Every owner wants their own guy, I'm sure. I think this has been discussed behind closed doors, and it's why the Preller extension took as long as it took. There's no way there aren't protections in Preller's deal that will continue to make him the GM moving forward. It's a multi-year deal. Of course, he could be bought out because it's sports. I mean, Feliciano could get rid of him and just pay him, write the check. But that, to me, doesn't make a lot of sense. Your first move is to get rid of the well-liked general manager of the franchise for the last 10-plus years that's led the team to the postseason a lot in the 2020s. I think you got to kind of think about what makes sense. And to me, it doesn't make sense that Preller would be on the move anytime soon.
That's a great point. I don't think Preller would be on the move, especially signing a multi-year deal. And the success that he's had here with the team, it's been team's very good. It's been a long journey to get to being a consistent playoff contender. And there were a lot of times where Preller probably should have been fired. Let's be real here. There's at least three or four times that Preller should have been fired. Okay. And I don't think at any moment of those instances, Padres fans would have been losing their mind. Now, with the success that he has, you know, had with the club, I mean, they're going on. If this plays out how we think it could play out this year, right? Mm-hmm. They're playing great baseball right now. I'm shaving my beard probably Sunday night.
Let's go.
They're on the verge, if this goes well this year, on three straight postseason appearances. Like, tell me the last time that happened in Padres franchise history. Oh, I'll tell you.
Well, never.
Never. So, you know, making it an NLCS, making the postseason. Yeah, they've failed in the postseason recently. But still, just giving themselves a chance is all you want. It would be insane to have one of the first moves this guy and the firm makes is bringing in a new GM. That's
insanity.
You would be committing, like, the ultimate owner suicide from day one.
Yeah, there's reasons to make a change as a new owner. You made the point earlier, but that's with a non-successful franchise, a team that's kind of just trying to turn their fortunes around. Again, this team hasn't won at the highest level, but this team has been successful. And look at the way it's supported, obviously, you know, at the ballpark. It's ridiculous, the crowds they're drawing right now. Taco Bell, call 911. Thank you again for the super chat. He says, if you pay over $3 billion, that includes all the debts being paid, doesn't it? I can't imagine they still have debts after that amount. Are you saying the Padres' debt? Who knows? We don't know the books of the San Diego Padres. They're not public. No Major League Baseball teams are. I just got to trust the process with the sale and the dollars. And I got to assume if you're spending $4 billion, you're not like, well, I'm cash poor now. I just spent $4 billion, so I'm not going to do anything. There's no way that's the strategy when you spend $4 billion. By the way, his PE firm is tied to $90 billion in assets. So, I mean, they'll have the resources. You don't work in private equity and just sit on your hands and say, we're cash poor, and this is it. I just don't think that's how that works. I don't know enough about it, Jim. That's not my specialty or yours. How could it be? But I got to trust in the fact that they've kind of done the numbers and they've done the math. Right? There's no way you're just doing this like, oh, let's see if it works. I think they've done a little bit more research than that.
There is no world where a sale of $3.9 billion goes down without every single thing being discussed.
Everything.
There's no world. None. So I just have to trust the process as everybody does. Because we don't know the books. We don't know the numbers. We don't know what they talked about. We don't know anything. I just have to trust that when you buy a franchise for $3.9 billion, every single detail about the here and now and the future and the immediate future and all the money, everything's been discussed and talked about. It has to have been. It has to have been.
Longtime loyal viewer and lifelong Padres fan, Carlos, in the chat here today. It's great to see Carlos, Jim. He says, Carlos. Don't know how to feel. Carlos, man. Me and Carlos hung out in Mexico City the last time the Padres were there. They're going back, right? In a week.
Oh, must be nice.
He says, don't know how to feel about this. Can we get a decent starting pitcher? I'm with you on that. I mean, I'm all for that. I'm all for Lucas Giolito. This is private equity deal written all over it. Not excited. I understand wanting to be owned by an individual. Of course, there's money behind that individual. But the idea, hey, Joe, like, you know, you can kind of wrap your arms around it. It's not all tied to PE. So this is a different type sale. But I'm not going to knock it just because it's private equity. There's a lot of successful franchises in sports that are owned by PE firms. And I think the Padres could be one of them. And I'm with you. Go get another starting pitcher. Because I think the Padres are playing great baseball right now. But I think they could use more starting pitching, and that will catch up to them along the way. So I'm all for that at some point between now and the trade deadline.
Yeah, it's like, oh, great. The Padres sold for $3.9 billion. Can they go out and sign Lucas Giolito, please?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's like, nothing. That's pennies out of the $4 billion. I'll tell you that right now.
Seriously, it's like, well, here's a couple, 25 cents.
Nothing. 25 nothing. Mil, 20 mil.
Nothing.
Richard, thank you for your support of the channel. A longtime viewer, although obviously a Dodger fan. He says the Padres need to stop worrying about L.A., find what works for you. Asking the new group to go wild in spending is not realistic. Big contracts got you in trouble. Find the right players to fit. I think there's a balancing act between the splashy move. I like a splashy move, but I don't need only splashy moves. Look at the New York Mets. But I do like a splashy move. And then I like good spending. Mm-hmm. And I like savvy moves. And I think Preller's made a lot of savvy moves. But I would agree with the idea, Jim. You don't need to make four $400 million commitments. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't hurt to make one large commitment. As an owner,
I mean, the best way to make every single Padres fan fall in love with this new ownership group, you sign Scoobel.
Yeah, exactly. You make like, that one big splash.
You make that splash.
That's what you do.
That sets the tone for everybody around baseball, including the Dodgers. We are here to fucking play, and we are not here to fuck around. So you go out there as a new group that just bought a franchise. For the most money ever, $3.9 billion, your private equity firm is worth $90 billion.
Yep.
Okay? You have spent a shit ton of money on Chelsea. Hasn't really worked out, but still. You go out and your first big move is like Tarik Skubal. What? I mean, that would be insane. And now, again, it'd be kind of crazy if it was like a 10-year, $500 million contract. But at the same time,
throw caution to the wind.
Hey, you want to make a splash and you want to, you know, plant your flag and let everybody around baseball, mostly the Dodgers, know, like, guess what? You're not the big dog on the block anymore. Like, we're here too. You go out and do that.
We do want to thank our title sponsor. By the way, much more on this today at 3 p.m. Schaefer and Sliwa, San Diego Sports 760. Used to be John and Jim, but Jim moved. Kevin Acey will be on the show. Our pile of fun.
The fuck?
You're like, what, me?
Like, what?
We do want to thank our title sponsor, Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance. You guys know Mark. He's been with us for 6 years on the wrap-up show. If you have an insurance need, trust us. He is there for you and your family. Native San Diegan, lifelong Padres fan. If you support the channel, support Mark. Whatever you need, auto, home, renter's life, earthquake insurance. I have so many insurance policies with Mark. Before you renew your current policy, get in contact with Mark. He'll talk to you about the Padres. He'll talk to you about saving money on your insurance. Great service and communication. Trust us on that. But again, we do want to thank our title sponsor here on the wrap-up show. Click the link in the description down below to get in contact with Mark Nimitz at Farmers.
Yeah, all his information is on that ticker below and Nimitz at farmersagent.com. And you reach out to Mark, let him know that John and Jim from the wrap-up show sent you.
Jim, before we get out of here, thoughts on tonight? They're going for 9 straight. You have said if they win 10 straight, you will shave your beard. They're facing one of the top pitchers in baseball tonight in Anaheim. How nervous are you?
I'm scared. I'm very nervous.
What's first pitch?
Because here's the tonight. Thing. Here's the thing. Tonight is I think the game that will decide if I shave my beard or not. Because if they win tonight, they're winning tomorrow. So like they're facing a pitcher that has a 0.33 ERA this year.
Solid.
If you beat him, you're winning 10 in a row. You know what I'm saying? So, like, this is the night. This is the night that I am going to be glued to my television.
This is hilarious.
Waldron's going to hand it over a silver platter.
I don't know if it's as simple as that.
I'm very nervous, John. I'm very, 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 very nervous.
We know we're doing a wrap-up show Sunday night, by the way. I may show up. I think if they win tonight, I'll show up. I'll be here. Look at Jim's like, what? Which means Jim might have to be here because that's nine straight. He might have to swing by. Tell Aaron.
Bro, do you want me to have a divorce and move back to San Diego?
Yes, I do. That's actually my preference. Okay. That is definitely my preference.
I get it. Yeah.
are you guys doing anything tonight?
Yes.
It's late. It's late for you. This game doesn't start till 9:40. Your time.
Christ.
Right?
We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
We're gonna see how it goes. I'm like a daze today already, and I've been up for like 3.5 hours.
Wait, it's true. Like that's a lot. Right. By the time you'd be on the air with 9:38 start, it would be 12:30 or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Guys, we're gonna run because we have to run. It's 9 in the morning. And it's new.
I have to go do some things.
Jim has things to do. I got to get ready for Schaefer and Sliwa. Join us at 3 p.m. Much more of the story. Kevin Acey is on the show. Please subscribe to this channel. Thank you for support. We're past 10,000 subscribers. So thank you, thank you, thank you. If you're here on replay, thank you for the super thanks as well. Subscribe. Smash the like button. Follow us at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. Thank you for the supers. Thank you for the membership. Support Mark Nimitz and Prize Picks and SeatGeek and Hamul Casino. We will see you maybe tonight if the Padres can make it 9 straight in Anaheim. For Jim, I'm John. This has been the wrap-up show. Thanks, guys.
Peace.